Amen, amen. Well, good morning to all of you. Thank you for joining us today. I see some of you rocking your ugly sweaters. I got mine on. That's the birthday boy. We're glad that you're here. We're going to dive into week three of our series, Tidings of Favor. And today what I want to get into is, bye, Danny. See you later. today I want to get into kind of the meaning and why we chose the name Tidings of Favor. Because typically, you hear tidings, it's what? Comfort and joy. And I'm like, let's call it something different. Tidings of Favor, because I like to be different. No, it's I want to show you where that came from today. I was reading through Luke's account of Jesus' birth. Man, the term favor just continually jumped out at me. And as we're talking about angels, it typically happens right after an angelic visit. Now, it's not that there is favor just because there was an encounter with an angel. That's awesome, though, right? Like, if you're going to encounter an angel, you're going to be like, I'm favored because an angel showed up. But the favor is actually found in the message that the angels delivered to those who were favored. And so you're going to kind of see this as I unpack this today. I'm going to highlight the word favor as it shows up. And the interesting thing about it, it's going to just, we're going to read it as favor, but actually there are different meanings behind them. And so we're going to kind of inspect what that looks like and why those meanings take place. Now, on Wednesday, I had some of my youth, we did some trivia, and so they might know some of these answers. So I'm excited about this. Does anyone know who the angel Gabriel first visited in the gospel accounts? What is it? Just shout it out. Yeah, my teens, they know. They're like, it was Zechariah. Now on Wednesday, some of them got that wrong. But they learned, and so that was fun. And so our first mention of favor, it's actually by Elizabeth, who is Zechariah's wife. So I want to give this to you. What I'm calling this is shown favor. It's in Luke chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 11 through 13 and then verses 23 through 25. It says this, and then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled, and he was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. And then we're going to jump down to verse 23. When his time, talking about Zechariah, of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife, Elizabeth, became pregnant. And for 5 months, she remained in seclusion. And she says in verse 25, the Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown his favor. And I kind of highlighted it there. The word for favor is epidon, and taken away my disgrace among the people. And so real quick, we'll look at this word epidon. And really, it means he has shown his favor. Literally, if you look at the translation and you put it word by, it's like he has shown his favor. And that's what that phrase means. And so that's what it is, to show favor, to show concern, to consider and to look at highly. And so in this moment, Elizabeth considers herself favored by the Lord for the blessing she had received in the form of a son. Now, we got to kind of backtrack a little bit because we got to understand why she feels so favored. If you go back to Luke 1:7, this is what it says about Elizabeth and Zechariah. It says that they had no children because Elizabeth could not conceive, and both of them were well along in years. This is a nice way of saying what? They're old, right? And so that's the reality. They are older. They're probably, you know, maybe well past childbearing age, haven't conceived in their many years of life, and maybe they've come to terms with that. Or maybe they gave up on that a while before this. But the Lord shows up, and in a way, kind of reminiscent to the story of Abraham and Sarah, right, where, you know, God promises them a child, and they're like waiting. In a way, the Lord shows up revealing that they would have a son, but not just any son. Man, this would be the son who would prepare the way for Jesus. And so, you know, she feels favored because after years of prayer, of patience, maybe even losing hope, they are now with child. They feel favored because they were miraculously told this by an angel. They feel favored because their son would play an integral role in preparing the way for Jesus. And maybe you can connect with this favor. Maybe you can connect with why Elizabeth's feeling this way. I know for me and my wife, we can. Many of you kind of know our story. We have many, many kids, and we have 9 kids now, and only one of them, up until recently, was biological. And so after 18 years, man, of kind of having the Lord bless us and show us favor, desiring to have another child of our own, where we conceive our own child, we had kind of gotten to this place where we had, thank you very much. Michelle had to bring me a chair. Because I was getting a little vertigo beforehand, so if I didn't want to like fall over and you guys be like, oh my gosh, so I'm gonna sit down if I do, and so you can pray for me on that. Okay, and so we had tried and we had come to a place where like, man, our family's blessed, and it's like, you know, we already have 8 kids, so God's blessed us, we are favored, and kind of got to this place where we're like, you know, if it happens, it happens, whatever, and kind of moved past that, and then lo and behold, out of the blue, my wife is pregnant after 18 years, and I want to show you a picture. This is my wife, 6 months pregnant after 18 years. And there's that cutie man on the right. This was his 9-month-old picture just recently. And we, you know, it's just one of those things. Like, it's just like, God, like, thank you. Thank you for showing us favor. Thank you for blessing us in this way. And the reality of it is this, is that God had already blessed us in so many ways. Man, eight wonderful children. But then he shows up like this, and we're just left in awe, feeling loved and favored by him. And I wanted to share that, and I want to showcase kind of Elizabeth's story a little bit, because if like Elizabeth or my wife, you've struggled to continue and trust in God's timing, don't lose sight of his favor in your life already, and continue to trust him. And that's something that we see here. So that's, Elizabeth has shown favor in this moment. She's given a child in this moment. And this is an amazing thing. Now let's move on to favor number 2 that shows up in the story of Luke. This is Mary's favor. I'm calling this one found favor. And this is Luke chapter 1 again, verse 26. And it says this, in the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you are highly favored, and the Lord is with you. Different word there for favored. We'll talk about that in a minute. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found what? Favor. And again, you're like, it's a different word. And you're like, man, this is kind of interesting that there's all these different words. You found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. And so in Elizabeth's case, she comes up and just declares, I've been shown favor. And Mary comes into the scene. She is told by the angel that she is favored, that she has found favor with the Lord. And so these words for favor in Mary's story are different than Elizabeth's. First, because Elizabeth kind of proclaims this over her own life. And then for Mary, it is spoken over her, it is spoken to her. And so this Greek word, charetu, means this. You are highly favored. That's literally what it is. You are highly favored, or one who is highly favored. Now, the other word I want to give it to you, because it's in there, is charis. And this word, it shows up a lot within the New Testament, in probably majority of the time, probably somewhere around 150 to 160 of the times, this word, it means grace. God's grace given to us. And there are several times, including right here, where it's translated favor. And I just find it interesting that grace and favor are intertwined. And they're both given by God. Now, as I studied this, I was just reading through and I'm looking, I'm like seeing, I'm like, how many more things, how many more people found favor? How many other times does this show up? I'm kind of just studying it, and then I'm realizing that only Elizabeth and Mary felt or found favor, and I couldn't help but wonder, well, what about Joseph, right, guys? What about Zechariah? What weren't they favored? You know, these guys were both visited by angels, right? They both had the privilege and the responsibility of raising their son into godly men. And I'm like, what about them? And I believe they were favored. It's just not mentioned. And so here's what you kind of have to take into account. First is that the use of these three phrases, charis, charitu, and epidon, as favor, they only show up in Luke's gospel. Now, Luke had a different writing style. He had a different vocabulary. Many believe he was a physician. And so he spoke and wrote differently, and maybe a little bit more eloquently than the other gospel writers. And so Joseph's story isn't told in Luke's gospel. It's told in Matthew's gospel, and he doesn't go into any of this. He doesn't use these phrases. So that's maybe why we don't see that specifically come out. The other thing, kind of something that I noticed, is the presence of the Holy Spirit at the time of being shown favor or finding favor. And so for both Elizabeth and Mary, they had experienced the Holy Spirit within them, ready for this, on multiple facets. I'm calling this the double Holy Spirit favor, okay? And I'm not saying that like they got more Holy Spirit than we did. Let me show you this. You ready? Luke 1:15, it says it's talking about John the Baptist. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit while he's still in the mother's womb. That's awesome, okay? And then Luke 1:41, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped inside her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. You see the double faceted, right? John's got the Holy Spirit in her womb, and she's filled with the Holy Spirit. There's some favor there, right? Luke 1:35, and Mary, the angel replied to Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will be overshadow you, and therefore the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And so you got Mary being filled with the Holy Spirit, and she's carrying Jesus. You know what I'm saying? And what do we know about him? He's God. He's Holy Spirit. He's three in one. And so you see this favor coming in. And so Elizabeth and Mary, they share unique favor, being filled with the Holy Spirit and having their children filled with the Holy Spirit within their womb. How cool is that? I don't know. There's favor to be found. One other quick note, and this is just for you to take whatever. In the gospel accounts, there are about six people who are explicitly described as being filled with the Holy Spirit before Jesus' ascension. Because we know that Jesus said what? I have to go away, and when I go away, what? The Holy Spirit will come, and you will dwell in my people. But if you look, there are six people. It's John the Baptist, it's Elizabeth, it's Zechariah, it's Mary, it's a guy named Simeon who praises the Lord when he meets Jesus, and then it's, of course, you know, Jesus, right? Sorry, Joseph isn't included. Doesn't explicitly say, but Joseph's not included. I don't know. Maybe he went to hell. I'm just kidding. Don't. That's not what that means. He's highly favored. But here's what we see. That it's all surrounding what? Jesus' birth. Jesus has come, and the Holy Spirit's presence is just like emanating out and being like, listen, this is what's going on. This is what's happening. And so the filling of the Holy Spirit for these people is closely tied to God's redemptive plan, particularly the proclamation and preparation for the Messiah's arrival. And we've been talking about this, how the angels came to proclaim, and they prepared us, and they serve him, and then we're called to do the same thing. And so the presence of the Holy Spirit, this is the other cool thing. And sometimes, you know, we talk about Jesus' divinity. Is he God? Is he man? Is he both? This points out the presence of the Holy Spirit around Jesus, really just around his birth, is another confirmation of his divinity and also his messiahship, that the Savior had come. Look at everything surrounding it. Look what the Holy Spirit's doing. Look at all the miracles. Look at all the angels. It's all surrounding Jesus. Kind of some cool stuff. Now, let's go back. Let's backtrack to Mary's unique favor. I landed on this word, charitu, one who is highly favored. And I want you to see that. It's not just, hey, Mary, you're favored. It very, very specifically said, highly favored. This is the only time this phrase is used in the Gospels. And it's used for Mary. And I read that and I go, well, that means Mary's God's favorite, right? That's what it means. Why is God picking favorites, you know? If you have kids, if you have multiple kids, like you've probably experienced this, where like you give one kid one thing or you do something for them, but and they're like, well, why are they your favorite, right? And I'm looking, I'm going, why does she get all the favor, right? I mean, I know she carried your son and everything, but come on, I want to be your favorite too, right? We kind of feel this way. But she's highly favored on multiple ways. But, you know, first and foremost, she gets to be Jesus' mom. Like, that's awesome, right? She's the only person to become pregnant by the Holy Spirit, okay? She's the only one that can claim fame to that. And this is where I really get jealous. She got to spend the most time with Jesus more than anybody else. You know what I get jealous of? I get jealous of baby Jesus snuggles. I would like to hold baby Jesus and snuggle him up. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was just holding my son. Imagine just being able to snuggle up the Savior of the world, right? That'd be awesome. I want to do that, God. Like, let me get some of that favor. You know what I'm saying? And she has this favor. And of course, you know, the biggest favor is that she raised the perfect child. How many of us want that? I want my child to be perfect. Mary has claim to this. And I think there are many moms, when it comes to our kids, they consider themselves to be highly favored because, well, their child's the best, right? Come on. We all think it. My kid's cuter than all the other kids. My kid's smarter than all the other kids. My kid's more advanced than all the other kids. My kid is going to grow up and she's going to change the world. My kid is a perfect little angel. Some of you are like, I don't think that at all. Right? But we kind of do this. Like Cohen, for instance. Look at this kid. Hold on. Look. Yeah. Highly favored. With the best, cutest, smartest, perfect child. Look at those teethies right there, man. I love that kid. I'm just using my platform to show you pictures of my kid. Because I could do that, I guess. Okay. So, you know, here's the deal. It's just part of being a parent, right? Like, we are favored when God blesses us with a child and we love that child more than anything else. There are times when we wear those rose-colored glasses, thinking the world of them. And why wouldn't we, you know? Like, let's keep doing that. Let's, you know, just lavish love on our kids. But at the end of the day, none of our kids is perfect, the best, or smarter than the rest. But Jesus is. And that's the favor that Mary has. I feel like Mary's walking around, right? And she's like, I got the Savior of the world. He's my kid. And she's like, yo, your kid's doing some pretty good stuff. But my kid, let me tell you about my kid. He's the Savior of the world. What do you got on that, right? I don't know. I doubt Mary flaunted it like that because she was chosen for, you know, very specific reason. But, man, she probably went around and be like, you know what Jesus did? He memorized the Torah before he was 1 year old. I'm pretty sure that took place. You know what I'm saying? I don't know, man. But, like, I believe that Mary got the best mom ever goal. Like, that's achieved. Like, she checked that off. Like, because look at my kid. If your child is anything, like, paints a picture of who you are as a parent, Mary's like, I win. I win as a mom, right? And so she's favored. And here's the other thing. You know, she did. She found favor. She feels favored. But there's probably, and we see it a little bit in the very beginning, moments where she was fearful. And we get to see it right out the gate. But I'm sure there are many times as Jesus was growing up where she was fearful. But look at what it says. And this is kind of the fear over fear before the favor. Luke 1:29 says, but she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. And then the angel told her, don't be afraid, Mary. For what? You have found favor with God. She's deeply troubled, deeply afraid. I mean, just think about the qualities in which Mary had to possess in order to be chosen to be the mother of Jesus. I mean, really ponder that for a moment. Like, what was it about Mary that God chose her? As you read through the Old Testament, there's a lot of talk about, you know, the firstborn and the heir and the blessing and you know, becoming the king and the character and integrity that is required of the men in those roles. And we look through and we see God kind of, you know, looking at these men and declaring, you know, very, very big things about these men. And these are very important roles that we see all throughout the Old Testament. But just think about what was required of the woman who would actually carry and raise and be the mother of the King of Kings. It's one of those things where, like, yeah, Mary's favored. At the same time, this is undoubtedly one of the most important responsibilities anyone has ever had. And so, I mean, think about the fears that you just have raising your child, being a parent for the first time. Just all these things come into play. I mean, and you begin to think about what did Mary fear? Like in the beginning, the first thing I'm going is like as she's visited by an angel, she's probably like, am I hallucinating? Am I hearing voices? Who is talking to me? He's saying some weird stuff to her, right? And so there's this first fear, like this is weird. I might need to like go see the physician or something. Well, then secondly, and we learn this from the story, she's betrothed, she's a virgin, but she's pregnant, right? And you're like, this is, and so she's thinking about all these things. She's like, I'm betrothed to him, and now you're saying I'm pregnant, and all these fears are coming in, and like, that's, first, that's weird and wild and crazy. Like, that's cool, but also I'm freaking out a little bit. And then she's probably going, well, wait a second, what happens when my parents find out? What are they going to think? What are they going to say? How are they going to react? What happens when Joseph, who I'm betrothed to, who I'm saving myself for, finds out? What happens when the community starts doing what the community does and starts talking? There's fear and fear and fear and fear. And then she probably goes, well, am I even ready to be a mom? And then it probably dawns on her, am I ready to be the mom of the Savior of the world? I mean, think about the pressure. Hey, Mary, make sure you raise Jesus right. No pressure. He's supposed to save the world. So you got to make sure you do it right and keep him alive while he's young. Because you know boys, if you have boys, they're stupid, right? Now, I mean, maybe not Jesus, right? But still, boys are boys, you know? So it's all this pressure. And I'm sure there's more fears. And so you think about all these things. And I mean, I think in order to combat her fears, the angel had to let her know just how favored she was. The angel tells Mary, remember God's favor in your life, over your life, for you to combat the fears that you have. And so in remembering and treasuring God's favor in her heart, this helped her push past her fears to then praise God and continue to praise God all of her life. Now, at the end of Luke 1, Mary gives praise to God in a song that is called, in my youth, let's see if my youth, because I asked them this question on Wednesday, and nobody got it, and I didn't expect them to. It's crazy. Most adults wouldn't even know this. There's a song, that Mary's song of praise is named what? Where my youth at? What's it called? Just say it.
Magnificat.
Magnificat. Any of y'all know that? Raise your hand if you knew that. Yeah, it's like, who knows this random information? Magnificat. And it means magnifies. My soul magnifies the Lord. It is the first phrase. It's Latin phrase for my soul magnifies the Lord. Here's what it says, Luke 1, 46. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior because he has looked with favor on the humble condition of his servant. Who am I that he would choose me? Who am I that he would give me this? And she's like, man, I'm going to praise God. Yeah, there are fears, but his favor is greater than any other fear. I'm going to ask that the band or that Danny would come and play beautifully behind me so I sound majestic. Okay, and so she goes from feeling fear to then feeling favored. Now, here's the cool part. I want to connect all these dots. And so what I've shared with you, what I've shown you, is that Mary is favored, not just favored, she's highly favored. Like, she got to have this very unique relationship with Jesus, and she got to experience the Holy Spirit during his birth. She even got to experience the Holy Spirit after his ascension, right? And so she's favored. But what I want you to understand is that God's favor isn't just for Mary. I told you earlier that this word, this phrase for favor, charitu, was only used for Mary in the Gospels. And it actually only shows up two times in the New Testament. The other time it shows up is in Ephesians 1. Do you want to know who it's talking about? Jesus followers. All Jesus followers. I'm calling this the Jesus followers' favor. Ephesians 1, verse 3. It says, praise God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. For he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted through Christ for himself, according to his favor and will, to praise of his glorious grace that he favored. And there it is. He favored us in the beloved. We have redemption in him. When you think about all I shared with you about Mary and what was declared over Mary. And at the end of the day, you ready for this? Mary's favor gave birth to our favor. Yes, pun intended, okay? You get it? Mary's favor gave birth to our favor. Literally gave birth to our favor. She was chosen, specifically, uniquely chosen to bring Jesus into the world. And guess what? So are each and every one of us. We're chosen. Favored, called to bring Jesus into the world. You see, Jesus followers are favored because we are chosen to bring Jesus into the world through what? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that what Mary did? Isn't that what we are called to do? But like Mary, as we live for Jesus, as we begin this life with Jesus, as we step out to share Jesus, guess what comes? We experience these moments of doubt, right? Of doubt in what we believe and what Jesus is doing and the experience that we have. Maybe of being doubted by others that have known us. We experience moments of fear. Going, well, man, I wonder how this life in Jesus will change my life. I wonder if I'll be attacked from other people because I'm choosing to live for Jesus. There's confusion and misunderstanding. Going, what, you know, what is Jesus doing? How is Jesus doing? When is Jesus going? And we're just confused and have all these things. And then there's concern and there's sadness, right? What will my family and friends think? Will I lose relationships because I've chose to begin to live my life and surrender my life to him? As Jesus followers, we experience loss because of the effects of sin in the world. It's not that way. We don't experience those things. And so we have doubt, we have fear, we have loss, we have confusion, we have concern, we have sadness. But despite all of those things, you want to know what I want to share with you today? What you want to take today is that in spite of all those things, it will always end with God's favor. You want to know why? Because those who follow Jesus are adopted into God's family. Here on earth, and for all of eternity. That's what Ephesians tells us. And so, yeah, we'll experience these things. Yes, we'll go through these things. But in the end, we have favor. So in the midst of whatever circumstance you're going through, whatever you're going to deal with, can I just remind you, as the angel reminded Mary, remember God's favor to combat any fear, any doubt, any worry, any loss, any concern, any sadness. Remember his favor, that he chose you, that he loves you, that he's working for you, for his will, for his glory. And in the midst of remembering his favor, like Mary, man, praise him. Praise him for the favor that he sent to us in the form of his son. And may we continue to rest in his favor and help others come to experience that favor for themselves. I ask that you guys would bow your heads, close your eyes. And just thinking through what we've talked about, I think there's a moment here where we really have to take time to remember to trust in God's timing. And maybe today, like Elizabeth and Zechariah, you prayed fervently. You waited patiently, and you eagerly expected something to happen, for God to show up, and maybe it didn't, or maybe it hasn't, at least not the way you thought, not when you thought, not how you thought. Can I remind you today to continue to trust in God's perfect timing? In God's perfect plan. We don't know his ways or his plans. They are beyond us. And so I would say to you today, remember the favor that he's already shown you and continue to trust in what he's doing in your life. Because who knows how he may show up a week from now, a month from now, a year from now, or even 18 years from now. When he does, man, I'm guessing you'll feel favored, maybe even highly favored. Secondly, today, I want to just remind us to remember all the ways in which God has already shown us favor. To praise him for all the ways in which he's blessed us. Praise him for our marriage, for our kids, for our job, for our home, for our friendships, for our church. In this season, today, in your waiting, would you remember all that he's done for you and praise his name? And at the end of the day, maybe you say, there's not a whole lot. Jesus is God's favor to all of us. And so if anything, just praise God today for giving us his son. And then as you remember these things and you cherish these things and you treasure these things in your heart, remember what our call is. It's not to hold it and keep it to ourselves, but we're called to go and share this joy, to share this hope, so that others may find favor in God through the redemption from Jesus Christ. God, we thank you for your word today, the power of your word. Thank you for showing us all favor in grace, in love. We didn't deserve it, but you gave it anyway, God. Thank you today for who you are, for all you've done, and for all that you're doing. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.